السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخنا.
أويس.
الحمد لله بخير.
أويكم أسبوعاً وإذا وقتاً.
نعم يا شيخنا.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. أما بعد, today بإذن الله we are still upon the discussions about the orphans, al-yateen. The first chapters we read regarding the yateen were very, very general. فَضْلُ مَنْ يَعُودُ يَتِيمًا, the virtue, that is the chapter heading on hadith number 131. فَضْلُ مَنْ يَعُودُ يَتِيمًا, the virtue, the excellence, or the rewards of the person who يَعُودُ يَتِيمًا, yani who takes care of the affairs of any orphan. The one who feeds the orphan, clothes the orphan, shelters the orphan, guides the orphan, educates, nurtures, everything that a child needs to grow up, he provides for that orphan, that kind of a person. And that orphan is unknown to him, just any orphan. He went and picked an orphan. We know who the orphan is, the yatim is in the Sharia, a young boy or girl whose father passes away becomes an orphan. As long as that child remains below maturity, as long as the child remains a person that has not matured. So Fadlu Man Yarun Yatiman was where we started about the Aitam. The second chapter we took was on فَضْلُ مَنْ يَعُودُ يَتِيمًا لَهُ, the virtue of and the reward of the person who takes care of her own yatim. A woman has her husband pass away, and then she stands firm to nurture the boy or girl whose father passed away, take care of the yatim, clothe the yatim, nurture the yatim, or yatim, as the case may be, is to a girl, until this person grew up, is to a girl, if she arranges how the girl becomes married. I didn't want to say she marries him out, because a woman cannot marry out a girl, but she can arrange for that marriage. So when the girl becomes matured, or the boy becomes matured, they go out of al-yatim. So this was the second chapter we read about al-aytam. What was that? The one who cares for his own or her own yatim. So a woman would ask, her husband passes away, and then she's the one who single-handedly, and there are a lot of brothers that I know who are like this. The mother single-handedly raised them, perhaps with the support of the daddy's family or with her own support from her own family. But the fact that she was patient about being sure that they were well raised even after their father passed away was a very, very good thing for such women. And we mentioned at least in the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha that the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man yali min hadhihi al-banati shay'a, whoever looks after these girls regarding any of their affairs, he takes care of them, he cares for them, he nurtures them, he feeds them, he clothes them, he cares for them. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, kunna lahu sitra min an-nar, these girls would be a means of protection for him away from the fire of the day of hell. It's a very, very deep lesson for a woman or a man who cares for his own yetim, because a man may have a yetim, such as the children of his brother, when his brother passes away. To those, a yetim becomes ascribed to him. A man has a brother. This brother passes away and leaves behind orphans. The orphans become the yetim of the brother of their husband, of the brother of their father, meaning their uncle. So the uncle has orphans when his brother passes away and leaves behind orphans for him. We are just trying to do a recall of where we were coming from and what were the last in the series of lessons that we had. Our discussions were about an yetim. And the one who takes care of his brother's yetim or his sister's yetim, or the woman who takes care of the women who takes care of the girls who pass away when who takes care of the children whose parents pass away. The woman stands and takes care of them. She has two rewards. She has the reward of taking care of her own child, then she has the reward of taking care of the yetim. Likewise, if an uncle takes care of, or a cousin takes care of the nephew, as in the case of the uncle, because the husband of that, because their father passes away, he is doing two things. He's taking care of Qarib. He's making Silatul Rahim. He's connecting the ties of kinship. And then that person is also taking care of the yatim. So two rewards. If you take care of your own yatim, and we'll explain how the yatim can be your own. Yatim can be your own if you are the uncle of the yatim, or you are a close nearby, or the brother of the yatim, as the case may be. Your daddy leaves behind a yatim, and then he dies. You are the older one. You are mature. You are not yatim, but those younger ones are a yatim. You have a duty over them. So these yatim, these orphans can be offered to you. If you take care of them, you are doing two things. You are taking care of qarib, you are taking care of yatim. Each of them is a big reward for you. So it's a very, very big thing to you. These issues now are scarce among such Muslims, because each of us now has a gate and a fence, and all that we are concerned about are our own children and sons and daughters. That's all. The sons and the daughters of our brothers, we look at them from far away, especially when their parents pass away. Especially when their parents pass away. We want to suffice with just sending them something. I send something to them. Yes, that's also rewarding. How about the kind of education and nurturing? How about compassion that a child receives from parents? Do they have that? How about the fatherly attention that children need when they grow up, especially in the way that society has turned into now? Children need fatherly figures when they grow up. Have we adjusted ourselves in all of this? So this is for us to, each of us, looks for us to look inwards and try to adjust ourselves in all of these dealings. We have women all around us who are alone in taking care of their children. You can support and put a helping hand. While one of the scholars discussed this matter, he mentioned two things, and I felt that those two things are very important as we discuss these kinds of issues. He said, because kafalatul yatim, taking care of and nurturing the yatim, is ibadah. So two things must follow it. Two things must come, in fact, before, during, and after it. He said, those things, the first one is al-ikhlas. The person doing that must be sure to be doing that sincerely for the sake of Allah alone. You are taking care of the yatim for the sake of Allah alone. Not so that when the yatim grows up, you begin to say, you are an idiot. After all, you grew up under me. No, don't look at that. Don't look at that at all. Be sure that you are doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If it is not for the sake of Allah, no matter how much ta'ab, how much stress you put in, to be sure that you take care of these ayatam, there is not going to be rewards from it. Why? It was not done for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second one, there must be mutaba'ah. you must follow the sunnah in doing it. You want to take care of a young girl or a young boy with the mother, be sure that you are not violating the rules of relating with a woman who is not your mahram, that you, for whom you are not a mahram. Be sure that you don't violate this limit of Sharia in your dealings with the women who have children that you want to put a helping hand to care for. Be sure to maintain the limits of Sharia, the males and the females. Everybody must be sure that in all of these, the limits of the Sharia are maintained. Today, inshallah, we'll be looking at another aspect of it all. Al-Imam al-Bukhari started wide and he became specific as we went on. He started by saying, what are the virtues of taking care of yatim, general? What are the virtues of taking care of your own yatim? And here he's saying, Hafiz Rahimahullah, what are the virtues of taking care of yatim? More so when those yatama lose both parents. It's yatim when he loses a father. How about the father is not there, the mother is not there? What are the virtues of taking care of these kinds of people? They are all already yatama or aitam when they lost their father. How about the father is not there, the mother is not there? What are the rewards for it? This is what we'll be considering under this chapter, bismillah. Fadlu man ya'ulu yatiman min bayni abawayhi. Fadlu man ya'ulu yatiman min bayni abawayhi. The chapter and the reward of providing for and caring for the orphan min bayni abawayhi, when those orphans have come from your own parent, or min bayni abawayhi, when those orphans have come from your own parents. In some of the prints, you will see min bayni abawayhi. That is, you are a brother to the orphans. Min bayni abawayhi, you are a brother to the orphans. And in some of the copies of Al-Adab al-Mufrad, you will see it is said that min abawayhi, babu man ya'ulu yatiman min abawayhi, the one, the virtue of the one who takes care of the orphans, min abawayhi. Those people became orphans because the two of their parents passed away. So we have each of them, either of them, whether the orphans are from your own parents, from your own father and mother, or when they are, or that the orphans lost their own father and mother, what is the reward for taking care of these orphans? It will come under the general issues of taking care of orphans. May Allah grant us the ability for this great job in the society. That hadith will come under hadith 133 in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, by Al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, Abu Abdullah Muhammad ibn Isla'il. He said, rahimahullah, haddathana Abdullah ibn Muhammad. Qala haddathana Sufyan ibn Uyayna. And Sufyan qala, haddathatni Unaysatu عن أم سعيد بنت مرة الزهري عن أبيها عن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم أنا وكافل اليتيم في الجنة كهاتين أنا وكافل اليتيم في الجنة كهاتين أو كهذه من هذه أنا وكافل اليتيم في الجنة كهاتين أو كهذه من هذه. شك سفيان في الوسطى والتي تلي الإبهام. شك سفيان في الوسطى والتي تلي الإبهام. الإمام البخاري رحمه الله said, حدثنا عبد الله بن محمد. He took that report from his teacher عبد الله بن محمد, who said, حدثنا سفيان بن عيينة. Al-Imam Sufyan ibn Uyayna, we had read a number of ahadith from him in the past. He is Sufyan ibn Uyayna al-Hilali, rahimahullah, and Safwan. He is reporting from Safwan. And Safwan in this hadith, from amongst the teachers of Sufyan ibn Uyayna, he is Sufyan ibn Sulaym. He is Safwan ibn Sulaym. Safwan ibn Sulaym was a very, very reliable reporter of hadith, and he was well known for worship. Safwan ibn Sulaym, he was well known for worship, especially observing Qiyamul Layl. In fact, one of the scholars will say, لَوْ كِيلَ لَهُ غَدًا السَّاعَ مَا كَانَ عِنْدَهُ مَزِيدٌ لَوْ كِيلَ لَهُ غَدًا السَّاعَ. If it were told to Safwan ibn Sulaym, tomorrow is the day of judgment. Tomorrow, by the time we sleep and wake up, the day of judgment will be established. مَا كَانَ عِنْدَهُ مَزِيدٌ. He does not have additional duties to perform. He was always ready for the day of Qiyamah. I'm sure if any of us were told that tomorrow is the day of Qiyamah, we would like to observe Salatul Tasbih, we like to observe 2 units of prayer, we like to start saying Subhanallah, start reading the Quran, so that the best of our deeds become the one upon which we are taken away. For Safwan ibn Sulaym, he has always ever been like that, upon the best of deeds at all times, waiting for the day of Qiyamah. If it were said to him, tomorrow is the day of Qiyamah, ma kana lahu min masjid, he does not have additional good deeds again, because he's upon the standard level of the good deeds that the individual should be, and upon which death should catch up upon us. May Allah forgive each and every one of us. There are many amongst the early Muslims who were so described. One of them was Hammad ibn Salama. He was so described, rahimahullah, that for 20 years he was waiting that death would come. He was ready. If it came tomorrow, alhamdulillah, he was upon the level of the good deeds that anyone would say if death came today. Most of us were afraid of death because we don't know what will come back to meet. But for these people, they upped their deeds, they upped their worship. They were so fervent in their servitude to Allah and hope in his good rewards that they were waiting. If death would come now, what other thing would I have wanted to do? They were already upon that. The way we can attain that is that you think, if death comes upon me now, how would I want death to meet me? How would I want to meet Allah? Stay and remain upon that. These people were upon these for years, waiting that Allah would take their life before Allah finally took them. One of those who were upon that was Safwan ibn Sulaym, rahimahullah. It was said of him, لَوْ كِيلَ لَهُ غَدًا السَّاعَ. If it was said to him, tomorrow is the day of Qiyamah, مَا كَانَ لَهُ مِنْ مَزِيدٍ. He was the one who reported from Unaysa, rahimahullah. His teacher in this was Unaysa, and she was reporting from Ummu Sa'id bint Murrah Al-Fihri. Ummu Sa'id is the tabi'i of this hadith. This Ummu Sa'id, she is the daughter of one of the companions who was called Murratu Al-Fihri. Murratu Al-Fihri. This companion was called Murratu Al-Fihri. We have come across a number of companions who are not very, very well known to us. Murratu Al-Fihri, he is Murratu Ibn Abd Al-Fihri. He became popular as what? Murratu Al-Fihri. He was one of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He accepted Islam on the day of Fathu Makkah, and he's from amongst the people of Medina. His name is what? Murratu Al-Fihri. It is his own daughter who was called Ummu Sa'id. She's the one who reported this hadith from her father, whose name was what? Murratu Al-Fihri. Radiallahu anhu. From amongst the companions of the Prophet was a man called what? Murratu Al-Fihri. Rahim radiallahu anhu. One of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad was who? Murratu Al-Fihri. His real name was Murratu Ibn Abd Al-Fihri. So he became popularly known as Murratu Al-Fihri. I wouldn't know any companion who was called Murrah. So once we say Murrah, we already know that it is referring to who? Murratu Al-Fihri, radiallahu anhu. He was the one who reported from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam that the Prophet said, Ana wa kafilu al-yateem fil jannati kahatayn. Murratu Al-Fihri, radiallahu anhu, reported from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam that the Messenger said, alayhi salatu wa salam, أنا وكافل اليتيم في الجنة كهاتين. أنا وكافل اليتيم في الجنة كهاتين أو كهذه من هذه. Myself, I, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ana wakafilu al-yateem. Myself, I, wakafilu al-yateem, and the one who looks after the yateem, the guardian of the yateem, the protector of the yateem, the one who takes the yateem and looks after him, provides for him, clothes him, feeds him, nurtures him, educates him as he would educate his own children. He took over the affairs of the yateem, as he will take over, of course, the affairs of his own children. He cares for the yateem. He provides compassion for the yateem. He takes the yateem away to places as he will take his own children away to places. What he does to the children, his own children, he does the same thing to the yateem. The one who does this, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, himself and myself, fil jannati kahatayn. Inside Al-Jannah, we will be like these two things. Inside Al-Jannah, we will be like these two things. What are those things? It says, aw kahadhihi min hadhihi. It says, or we will both be the way this one is to this one. What are those two things? The way this one is, kahadhihi min hadhihi. The way this one is, the way this one is close to this one. What are those two things? They are the two fingers, as it was mentioned by Sufyan al-Thawri, Sufyan ibn Uyayna, rahimahullah. It says, Shakka Sufyan fil wusta wallati. Sufyan was doubtful about his mentioning al-wusta wallati talil ibham. Al-wusta is the middle finger, the most tall or the tallest of our fingers, the middle finger, after which we have two fingers to the right and two fingers to the left. That finger is referred to as al-wusta in Arabic. That is the mid finger. And then al-lati talil ibham. Al-ibham is our thumb. When we say ibham, it refers to what? Our thumb. Wal-lati talil ibham, that is the forefinger as sababa. The one that follows the ibham is sababa. So when the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ana wa kafilu al-yateem fil jannati kahatayn, and then he stretched his two fingers, myself, I, and the caregiver, the protector, the guardian, the caretaker, so to speak, of the orphan, kahatayn, who will be like these two things, aw kahadhihi min hadhihi, or it will be like this finger is to this finger, the way the mid finger is to the forefinger, the way the mid finger is to the fore or the first finger. That is the finger between al-wusta wal-ibham, wa-hiya al-lati talil ibham. The one that follows the thumb is what? Sababa or sabaha. It is either called sababa. That is the finger that the Arabs used to point at someone whenever they wanted to curse a person. The sababa was pointing. It is also referred to as sabaha, as we will see in the riwayat of this hadith. The first finger, the finger after the thumb, is also called sabaha. Why? Because when we make tasbih, you see in our tahiyya, we point that finger. So that finger used to be referred to as sababa in the earlier times before Islam. It was said that afterwards it became popular as sabaha. Sabaha because we make tasbih with it. Sababa because they used to curse people and point that finger to that person whenever they did a curse. May Allah protect us. So the sababa, the first finger, or sabaha, the finger with which we make a tasbih, with which we make ishara doing at-tahiyya, that finger, the first finger, and the middle finger. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kafilu al-yateem, the one who takes care of al-yateem, ana wa kafilu al-yateem, I am the guardian and the caregiver of the orphan, the one who provides care and attention to the orphan. The one who does this, Kahate, myself and him will be like the middle finger and the fourth finger. The fourth thing, there are three things we'll get from this illustration. The first thing we'll get from the illustration is that Kafir Yatim fil Jannati ma'an Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The one who takes care of the yatim would be in Al Jannah with the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be in Al Jannah, that is the way Kafir Yatim would be in Al Jannah. The way the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be in Al Jannah, that is the way Kafir Yatim will also be in Al Jannah. So Kafir Yatim will be in Al Jannah. So if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us in the previous hadith that kunna lahu sitran minan nar, the one who takes care of the yatim, that care for the yatim will be a means of protection away from the fire. And in the next hadith, we are reading that kafir al-yatim, ana wa kafir al-yatim fil jannati kahate, myself and the one who takes care of the yatim will be in al-jannah like these two fingers. That means care for yatim, attention for yatim, providing food, care, nurture, education for yatim. It's a means of protection from the fire, and it's also a means of entering into al-jannah. It's a means of protection from the fire, and it's also a means of gaining entrance into al-jannah. So the fourth thing we pick from this hadith, ana wa kafir al-yatim fil jannah, is that kafir al-yatim fil jannah. The first point of reference is that the one who takes care of the yatim, bi-ibnillah, will be in al-jannah. One of the deeds of the people of al-jannah is kafala to yatim, taking care of the al-yatama, taking care of the yatim, young children, boys or girls who lose their parents. Taking care of them is one of the means of entering al-jannah. It's also one of the means of protection against Jahannam. So the first point of reference is that the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ana wa kafirul yatim fil jannah. Myself and kafirul yatim will be in al-jannah. The first point of deduction, even Allah, from that is that kafirul yatim fil jannah. The one who takes care of the yatim will be in al-jannah. The second point of reference, or the second deduction, point of benefit we pick from this hadith is that the status of kafirul yatim in al-jannah will be high. The status of kafirul yatim in al-jannah will be high. Why? Because it will be close to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the place of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is high, the highest, alayhi salatu wa sallam. He will be in the highest of the places in al-jannah. So kafirul yatim, being close to him, as we have the ibham, ma talil ibham, the forefinger of sababa or sabaha. The way sababa and sabaha is close to al-wusta, it means also that kafir al-yatim will be close to the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. So since the Prophet's status in al-jannah is the highest, the minimum of what the kafir al-yatim will get is also a high position in al-jannah. Kafir al-yatim will get a high position in al-jannah. Kafir al-yatim will be in al-jannah. Kafir al-yatim will get a high status in al-jannah. But there is now an issue that the ulama have clarified. Does this now mean that he will be in the same status with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Because the Prophet said kahatayn. He said alayhi salatu wa sallam, aw kahadihi min hadi, or the way this finger is close to this finger. Does that now mean that it is the same? Ulama say no. He will be close to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but he will not be in the same status with the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. That all that he sought to explain is that he will be close, he will be in al-jannah, he will be in a high status in al-jannah, he will be close to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it is going to be a different status, lower than the status of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, because the Prophet will have the high status. And the fact that the fourth finger and the mid finger are close does not mean that they have occupied the same place. This will be further understood from one of the riwayat of that hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari itself, when it said that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Ana wa kafilu al-yatimi fil jannati kahatayn." Myself and the care, the guardian of the orphan will be in al-jannah like these two fingers. It said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Began to open up between the fourth finger and the second finger, meaning that they will be closed, like Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar said. He said, Rahimahullah, wa farraja baynahuma, yani the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began to open up between the fourth finger and the middle finger. He says, fihi isharatun ila tafawuti darajatayn, fihi isharatun ila tafawuti darajatayn. That is an indication that the two daraja, the two levels, the two ranks in Al-Jannah will be different. Just as the finger, the first finger and the middle finger, the Prophet was opening up, farraja baynahuma. He was opening between the first finger and the middle finger. Ibn Hajar said that is evidence that there is tafawut, there is difference between the two ranks. Tafawuta ma bayna sababati. In the way there is a difference between the first finger and the middle finger. Yes, he will be close to the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. And it is sufficient virtue, ikhwa. It is sufficient virtue that an individual will be in a place that is nearby the place of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his rank in Al-Jannah. It is sufficient virtue that an individual is upon a deed over which he is guaranteed entering into Al-Jannah. And that is from the aspect of kafalatul yatim. So the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ana wa kafilul yatim fil jannati kahatay. Myself and the guardian, the caretaker, the caregiver, the attention provider, the one who is compassionate with the yatim, kahatay, will be like these two fingers, like the first finger and the middle finger in Al-Jannah. And we said that implies that kafalatul yatim, providing care and attention for the orphan, is from the deeds of Al-Jannah. It also means that kafalatul yatim, providing care and attention to the individual, will bring such a person close to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam inside Al-Jannah, even though it does not mean that he will be in one at the same rank with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. One of the scholars who have spoken about this hadith, Al-Hafiz al-Iraqi, Abdul Rahim al-Iraqi, Zainuddin, one of the teachers of Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar, he said, why is it that kafilul yatim will be near the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam on the day of Qiyamah? And we know that al-jaza'u min jins al-amal. We know that rewards come from the kinds of good. What is it in taking care of orphans that is like the job of being a prophet? What is it in taking care of orphans that resembles the job of the prophets of Allah? And he answered himself, Rahimahullah. He said, what resembles it is that the prophets of Allah, the messengers of Allah, came to nurture the people upon tawheed and obedience to Allah. They nurture them. While these people were alone, free, moving all around, without guidance, without compassion, without mercy, they were just there. They didn't know how to handle themselves. They had infirat, away from guidance. The Prophet came, alayhi salatu wasalam, and Allah made him a means of guidance to us. He taught us deen. He taught us manners. He taught us worship. And we became guided. That is the same way the kafilul yatim is to the yatim. When the father of the yatim passes away, the yatim is just there. He does not have care. He does not have guidance. He does not have where to go. He does not have who to tell him what to do. And then the kafilul yatim provides himself. He guides him. He pays attention to him. He nurtures him until this person becomes a person who is guided in life. that it is because of this that his reward will come near and close on the day of Qiyamah to those and the status of the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet said in this hadith, hadith number 133, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he said, Ana wa kafilul yatimi fil jannati kahatayn. Myself and the care provider, the guardian of the yatim, kahatayn, will be like these two fingers. And he pointed to his middle finger and the fourth finger. وَفَرَّجَ بَيْنَهُمَا شَيْئًا فَرَّجَ بَيْنَهُمَا. He was opening up between the two fingers in some ways, meaning that yes, we will be close, but not necessarily at one, at the same status with the status of prophethood, but it will be near the status of a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hadith number 33 is the hadith of Murratul Fihri. That hadith was reported by who? From the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, Murratu al-Fihri. It has also been reported by Sahal ibn Sa'd al-Sa'idi and Abu Huraira. This hadith, Ana wa kafilu liyatimi fil jannati kahatayn, has also been reported by who? Sahal ibn Sa'd al-Sa'idi, one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, who lived longest. It was said that he was the last companion to die in Medina, Sa'd ibn Sa'd al-Sa'idi radiallahu anhu. And his report occurs in hadith number 135. So we can skip 134 and go to 135 because it is one and the same hadith with hadith number 133. So let's quickly check hadith number 135. And that was reported from, Imam al-Bukhari reported it from his Sheikh Abdullah ibn Abdul Wahhab. Abu Muhammad al-Basri. We are reading hadith number 135. In it, Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, Rahimahullah, Haddafana Abdullah ibn Abdul Wahhab, Abu Muhammad al-Basri, Qala Haddafani Abdul Aziz ibn Abi Hazim, Qala Haddafani Abi, Qala Samitu Sahla ibn Sa'adin, Anil Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Qala, أنا وكافل اليتيم في الجنة هكذا. أنا وكافل اليتيم في الجنة هكذا. وقال بإصبعيه وقال بإصبعيه السبابة والوسطى. وقال بإصبعيه السبابة والوسطى. أنا وكافل اليتيم في الجنة هكذا. وقال بإصبعيه السبابة والوسطى. In this hadith, hadith number 135, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, as we read in the hadith of Murratul Fihri radiallahu anhu, it has also been reported by Sa'al ibn Sa'd al-Sa'idi radiallahu anhum, because his father and himself were from amongst the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Sahal ibn Sa'd al-Sa'idi lived very long. He lived so long. Akhiru man mata bil madinati min as-sahaba. He was mentioned as the one who was the last person to die in Medina amongst the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He lived very long. He had many wives and he had many children. He had many wives, he had many children. He was stupendously rich, radiallahu anhuma. Sahal ibn Sa'd al-Sa'idi, radiallahu anhu. He reported from the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, as was reported by Murratul al-Fihri, that the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wa salam, Ana wa kafilul yatim fil jannati hakada. I am the guardian of the yatim, the care provider for the yatim, the attention provider for the yatim, the one who is compassionate with the yatim, hakada, who will be like this. Qala bi isba'ayhi. The Prophet now demonstrated with his two fingers. What are those two fingers? Which are those two fingers with which he demonstrated and illustrated? As-sababati wal-wusta. He described it with his sababa and his wusta. The sababa is the forefinger. The wusta is the middle finger. He described with the two of them. And as was in the report of Murratul Fihri,
فرج بينهما شيئا. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was opening up, as he showed those two fingers, he was stretching them and opening up between the two fingers and showing, yes, these two fingers are closed. He was showing them like that. فرج بينهما شيئا. And we had given us what the scholars had mentioned as the meaning of that. That firstly, it means that kafilul yatim min ahli al-jannah, the first thing. The second thing is that kafilul yatim yakunu qariban min al-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi al-jannah. The one who takes care of the yatim will be close to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in al-jannah. That is hadith number 135. And its explanations were, inshallah, captured when we read 133. These hadiths have also been reported by Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Let's not forget, it occurs also in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. This hadith of Abu Huraira, that the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ana wa kafilu yatimi fil jannati hakadha aw kahatayn aw kahadihi min hadihi, will be like the first finger and the middle finger. These are hadiths that also occur in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. But apart from Abu Huraira, it has also been reported by who? Murrat al-Fihri. And it has also reported by who? Sahal ibn Sa'd al-Sa'idi. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, ana wa kafilu al-yateen tahatayn. There's a matter I'd like to mention before we proceed to read hadith number 134. What is the connection between this hadith and the chapter heading? The chapter heading said, فَضْلُ مَنْ يَعُولُ يَتِيمًا مِنْ بَيْنِ أَبَوَيْهِ. What is the virtue of the one who cares for a yatim, both of whom the yatim is from his own two parents, or the yatim who loses the two parents? What is the virtue? What is the virtue of taking care of a yatim that has lost the two parents? Or taking care of a yatim from your own two parents? What is the connection between these hadith, ana wa kafilul yatim fil jannah, and that chapter heading? The connection is that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had not specified that the yatim is from the two parents, or the yatim is from your own parents, he didn't say that. He only said kafilul yatim, the one who cares for yatim. And yet they will have this kind of a virtue inside Al-Jannah. How about the yatim that has come from your parents? How about the yatim whose loss of his father or loss of support has come from the two parents? If the fact that a child loses his father and you take care of him, you will gain Al-Jannah and protection from Jahannam. How about if that child lost both father and mother? If a child lost a father, you will gain Al-Jannah. You will gain closeness to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam if you provide care for him. How about if that child had lost both his father or her father and mother? Then definitely the rewards will be more, because the care and attention will be more. A child that loses the father alone has lost the pipeline for support, but he still has some support, some sort of compassion, some sort of mercy, some sort of protection from the mother. How about when the mother also becomes lost while this child was a little young boy trying to grow up? This was the condition of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you will recognize his love for Abu Talib, the father of Ali, and why he did not want him to die in Kufr. Those were the people who took care of him, alayhi salatu wasalam. He did not want Abu Talib to die and go into Jahannam, because he took care of me. This is how Yatama behave with those who take care of them. One of the scholars was saying that they take care of the one who has taken care of them when they become old and matured. When these young boys you care for today, these young boys you took into your house today, these young boys you are and girls you are caring for today, when they grow up, sometimes they become more conscious of taking care of you when you become old than even your own children that you gave birth to and took care of. One of the scholars mentioned it that I listened to, and that was Sheikh Abdul Razak Ibn Muhsin Al-Abbad. He said, one of what is known in history is that these kinds of children that you take over, you take control of them, they become more beneficial to you when you need benefits at old age than even your children. Because they see it as you provided them privilege, they must pay you back. Your child will think that, oh, he gave me a right. It was my right for him. The other one sees it, oh, it was a privilege, I must return. The other one says, no, it was a right. So it is well known amongst the people that this kind of a thing, it happens a lot. So if you cared for a yetim who only lost the father and you have these kinds of rewards, it means when the loss is from both father and mother, your rewards will finally be greater than what has been mentioned. I hope the connection between the chapter headings and the ahadith that Al-Imam al-Bukhari has mentioned in the chapter are clear to us. We quickly go to hadith number 134. Bismillah, we still have a short time to take care of hadith 134 and 136. Bismillah. Al-Imam al-Bukhari has reported report number 134 under this chapter heading from Amr ibn Muhammad. He says, Haddathana Amr ibn Muhammad, Qala Haddathana Hushaym, Qala Akhbarana Mansur Anil Hasan, Anna Yatiman Kana Yahduru Ta'ama ibn Umar, Fada'a Bita'am Zat Yawmin. فطلب يتيمه فلم يجده فجاء بعد ما فرغ ابن عمر فدعا له ابن عمر بطعام لم يكن عندهم فجاءه بسويك وعسل فقال دونك هذا فوالله ما غبنت يقول الحسن وابن عمر والله ما غبنا. Al-Imam al-Bukhari reported this from his Sheikh Amr ibn Muhammad. We are reading report number 134. Let's not forget, we have said that Al-Adab al-Mufrad is different from Kitab al-Adab in Sahih al-Bukhari. And one of the reasons for the difference is that in Kitab al-Adab in Sahih al-Bukhari, there are no mawqufat. There are no reports from companions. All the reports are from the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But in Al-Adab al-Mufrad, we'll find reports from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam from his statements and actions and approvals. And we'll also see narrations from the companions from his statements and actions and their approvals. This is one statement from this companion from his action, radiallahu anhuma. That was Abdullah ibn Umar, radiallahu anhuma. So Al-Imam al-Bukhari reported it from his Sheikh Amr ibn Muhammad, who reported from Hushaym. Al-Imam Hushaym is the only Hushaym amongst the reporters of hadith. He is Hushaym ibn Bashir. Hushaym ibn Bashir is the only Hushaym amongst the reporters of hadith. At least amongst the reporters of the six books of hadith, Bukhari, Muslim, and Kutub al-Sunan al-Arba'a. Hushaym ibn Bashir is the only one who is called Hushaym. And he is from amongst the teachers of Al-Imam Ahmad. Rahimahullah. He is also mentioned with a lot of ibadah. And Ma'ruf al-Qarqi. Ma'ruf al-Qarqi was known for worship too. He said regarding Hushaym ibn Bashir that he dreamt regarding Hushaym ibn Bashir. And in his sleep, he saw the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying to Hushaym, Jazakallahu khairan ya Hushaym. Jazakallahu khairan ya Hushaym. Why? Because Hushaym was a well-known teacher of hadith and sunnah. Ma'ruf al-Qarqi had a dream that in his dream he saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying to Hushaym, Jazakallahu khairan. This is glad tidings for Hushaym. Because from that, the Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam, from mubashirat, from glad tidings from Allah to an individual, is good dreams that he sees regarding himself, or that was seen regarding him. So Hushaym ibn Bashir was known for his righteousness and from his great zeal and interest in spreading knowledge. He was Hushaym ibn Bashir from amongst the teachers of Al-Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. He was reporting from his teacher Mansur. So he says, Akhbarana Mansur. And what we fear from the reports of Hushaym from Tadlis has been removed here, because here he says, Akhbarana. He was not saying an Mansur. He was saying akhbarana Mansurun anil Hasan. Mansur, he is Mansur ibn Zazan. Mansur ibn Zazan, rahimahullah, is reporting from al-Hasan al-Basri. Hasan al-Basri was the Tabi'i. Hasan ibn Abi Hasan, rahimahullah, was a well-known Tabi'i amongst the Tabi'un. He said, anna yatiman kana yahduru ta'am ibn Umar. It was reported from Hasan al-Basri that a yatim, an orphan, would come to ta'am ibn Umar, would come to eat with Abdullah ibn Umar. Abdullah ibn Umar, we knew later in life, he became very rich and he would provide food, radiallahu anhuma, and people will join him in eating the food. He is even mentioned in number 136 that Abdullah ibn Umar will not eat until he looks for an orphan to eat with him. We are coming back to that, radiallahu anhuma. So here it says, anna yatiman kana yahduru ta'ama ibn Umar. An orphan used to visit to eat with Abdullah ibn Umar. This is very common with very noble people. When they ate food, they were not alone. They were not all alone employing the cutleries to hit the place where they ate. They looked for people to eat with them. It was very, very common amongst the early Muslims. So he had a yatim who would attend and partake in the meal with them. So it happened that Fada'a bita'amin that yawmin. So one day he invited the people, come and eat in my house. This is something we hardly do now. We hardly prepare food and invite the people to eat with us. But Ibn Umar did that on an occasion. So he began to look out. Where is that young boy? Where is that yatim? Falam yajidhu. Abdullah ibn Umar did not find him in the garden. Faja'a ba'da ma faragha ibn Umar. But that yatim came ba'da ma faragha ibn Umar, after Ibn Umar had ended that eating, that feasting, so to speak. Fada'a lahu ibn Umar bi ta'amin lam yakun indahu. Ibn Umar went to ask for food, but lam yakun indahu. Food had become exhausted. There were no more food at home. It had been eaten by those who came for that feast. Faja'ahu bi sawikin wa asal. Then Ibn Umar went to get him, radiallahu anhuma, sawik. Sawik is a kind of food, like from grinded barley or wheat. If you have wheat that is grinded, they put it together, match it, and then they bake it. So you can call it baked wheat bread or wheat cake or cake made from barley. They mixed it together like it used to be grinded. They mix it together with some water and then they bake it. So that is what they refer to as what? Sawik, wa'asal. And then he brought him some honey to take with it. Faqala dunaka hadha. This is for you. I have presented this to you. Fa wallahi ma gubinta. You have not missed anything. Ibn Umar was saying to the yatim, ma gubinta. You have not been deprived. Your not coming early does not deprive you. He is presenting the food and still giving him a statement that will make him be happy to eat the food, even though he had come a bit late. But Ibn Umar was trying to pacify him. This is how parents will pacify their children when they miss such gatherings. Ibn Umar said to him, wallahi ma gubinta, you have not been deprived of anything in the gathering. So that will make that boy to calm down. He will, bismillah, out of calmness, partake in his sawik and asal, honey and baked wheat bread. Yaqul al-Hasan. Al-Hasan al-Basri, who reported this from Abdullah ibn Umar, he was saying that, wa ibn Umar, wallahi ma gubina. Even Ibn Umar has not been deprived. That is, Ibn Umar, you are telling this boy, you are appeasing and appealing to this boy to manage the food that he got and saying to him that he has not been deprived. وَابْنُ عُمَرَ وَاللَّهِ مَا غُبِنَا. And Hassan al-Basri said behind Ibn Umar, مَا غُبِنَا. He himself has not been deprived. Yani Ibn Umar had gained too. Ibn Umar was successful too. Ibn Umar had not been deprived. And he was saying to that young boy that you have not been deprived. At least you found something to eat. Even if Omar was not deprived. What does he mean by Ibn Omar was not deprived? Ibn Omar has not been deprived the rewards of providing food and compassion to a yatim, even though it was not his fault that the yatim attended the meeting late and got there when the food had gotten exhausted. Yes, it was not Ibn Omar's fault, but he tried to appeal to his sense of reasoning, showing him compassion that you have not been deprived. So Al-Hasan al-Basri said, even if Omar had not been deprived, meaning that he will also get the rewards. Radiallahu anhuma. This was the way of the companions. The last hadith we'll quickly read, that is hadith number 136. Al-Imam al-Bukhari reported that from his Shaykh Musa, that is most likely Musa ibn Ismail al-Tabuzaki, rahimahullah. He is reporting from Al-Alaw ibn Khalid ibn Ibn Wardan, who said, Haddathana Abu Bakr ibn Hafs. Abu Bakr ibn Hafs is one of the descendants of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. Abu Bakr ibn Hafs is one of the descendants of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, where he became very popular with his kunya Abu Bakr. As if that's his name. But his name is Abdullah ibn Hafs. His name is Abdullah ibn Hafs ibn Umar ibn Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. So Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas had a son called Umar. This boy Umar had a son called what? Hafs. And Hafs had a son called Abdullah. That is the Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr ibn Hafs is one of the grandchildren of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. He said, Anna Abdullah. He said, Abdullah ibn Umar, Kana la ya'kulu ta'aman illa wa'ala khiwanihi yatimun. أن عبد الله كان لا يأكل طعاما إلا وعلى خوانه يتيم. He said Abdullah ibn Umar لا يأكل طعاما. He would not partake in any meal إلا وعلى خوانه يتيم. Except that on the table, on the spread, خوان. خوان is the spread, like a mat upon which they place the food. It is called what? خوان. The khiwan is the spread upon which they place food. He says, Abdullah ibn Umar kana la ya'kulu ta'aman. He will not eat a food. He will not partake in a meal. Illa wa ala khiwani yatim. Except that on that platform where they are eating, there is a yatim. That is, he will not partake in a meal except he looks for a yatim to eat with them. Abdullah ibn Umar. Radiallahu anhuma. Abdullah ibn Umar will not partake in a meal except he went to look for one yatim. Come and eat with us. Radiallahu anhum. This is the way of the early Muslims. But for us, most of us will fall in the category that we will be warning ourselves. وَلَا يَحُدُّ عَلَىٰ طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينَ. So you can see it's عَامُ الْمِسْكِينَ. Providing food for those who are weak, who don't have. And from the head of those, we have a duty to take care of in Islam, al-yatama, boys and girls who have been cut off from the support of their father because this man has passed away. We have a duty towards these people, al-yatama. But let's not forget, there are two conditions for a person to be a yatim in Islam. The first condition is that the father has passed away. The second condition is that the person is still a child. Has not reached their maturity. One of the scholars was asked, what if we train the child to reach maturity? He said, then you have fulfilled the job of kafala to yatim. You train the child up to maturity. You fulfill the job. You fulfill the job. He said, what if the child is a boy and we brought him into the house? How does he relate with the girls and the women in the house? And Sheikh Abdul Razak Ibn Abdul Muhsin Al-Abbad, Hafizahullah, he gave an answer that left me thinking. He said, in the past, the early Muslims used to breastfeed such little young boys and girls. So that when they grow up in the house, they become like the children in that house. Because it means that the women who breastfed them, the girls of those women become maharim. The boy becomes a mahram to those girls, And he becomes a mahram, of course, to the mother who breastfed him. So he grows up inside the house like a child fully who was born from amongst the children of the house. This is to the extent how the early Muslims paid attention to al-yatama wal-masakin. But in our own times, the condition is different. May Allah protect and forgive each and every one of us. We have a duty to take care of those who are in need of our support from amongst the children and their mothers who have been left without support because of the death of their husbands or because of some other reason they became cut off from support. We have a duty as Muslims to provide support for them. That is the last asar under this chapter. Fadlu man ya'ulu yatiman min bayni abawayhi. I think we can stop here, bi'idhnillah, today. We'll continue. The next chapter is talking about khayru baytin baytun fihi yatimun yuhsanu ilayh. The best home is the home that has a yatim and he's been taken care of properly. Those are the best homes. The best homes are those homes that have yatim. They have yatama, children whose fathers have passed away and who are still below age of maturity. The best homes are those homes that have these kinds of children. Inshallah, these are the next issues we shall discuss in the next class. I think we can have one or two questions today before we call it a day, Abba Yusuf.
This question says, if a father, if the children's father is alive but failed to take responsibility of the children because he divorced the mother, if someone marries such mother and takes care of the children, will it be counted as taking care of yatim?
That is one of the biggest ways of taking care of the yatim, marrying the mother of those yatama, marrying the mother of the yatim, so that you can take care of the yatim. It's one very, very big means of gaining al-jannah and seeking protection from the fire. Marry the mother of the yatim and then take care of the yatim. It's a very, very big job in Islam. When you do it, you have a lot of rewards. One of them is that, despite the fact that you are guaranteed al-jannah if you do it out of ikhlas and following the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, there is a second huge benefit that you will gain. You will be near the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in al-jannah. It means it's a very big job. It's a job that you need to fold your sleeves to face and do it very well while hoping for the rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the best ways of taking care of al-yatama is to marry their mother and then take care of those boys and girls. May Allah care for us too.
Ameen. Jazakumullah khairan ya shaykh.
Ameen wa antum.
And this one says, if the child has been weaned already, can the mother still give him the milk so he can be a maro?
If the child has been weaned already, can this yatim who is still not matured, can he be provided with the milk by the mother so that he becomes the mahram to that woman? A very big issue will come here now. That is the issue of rada'a, providing breast milk to a child. Many of the scholars believe that what makes a woman become a mahram to a boy is when she provides him milk at a time that he is still only breastfeeding, before weaning. This is the view of many of the scholars, and it occurs in the hadith of Umm Salama, radiallahu anha. So the large majority of the scholars believe that the kind of breastfeeding that will make a boy to become a mahram to a woman, and of course a mahram to the daughters of that woman, is the weaning, the breastfeeding that takes place before that boy becomes weaned. That is condition number one.
and that it must be up to 5 suckles. The suckling must be up to 5 times. And there are others amongst the ulema who think that if it is done after winning, that will also or can also make that boy to be a mahram to the woman. There are some of the scholars who have that view too. Amongst those who have this view was our mother Aisha radiallahu anha. She has a view that a boy that has stopped breastfeeding, that has been weaned, if another woman provides him milk and he drinks from that milk, that boy can still be a mahram to the woman. The third condition of the milk that provides weaning is that it must be drunk to feel. It must be that it is before weaning, it must be about 5 suckles, and that it must be provided, each of the suckling must be to feel. Those are the 3 conditions. I mentioned only 2. So some of the scholars said the weaning, the breastfeeding that provides a boy that status of a mahram to a woman is before weaning. But there are others who say that even after weaning, that boy can still be a mahram to the woman that provides him milk. And that is the position of our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, and perhaps her sister Asma bint Abi Bakr Siddiq. Because if a boy was brought to our mother Aisha, she used to say that our mother Asma radiallahu anha should provide that person some milk, and then the person will have the eligibility to be with our mother Aisha, because Aisha in that case would be the maternal aunt by fostering. Aisha would be maternal aunt by fostering when Asma would be the foster mother of that kind of a person. This position is a position of others too amongst the scholars, like Al-Imam Ibn Hazm Al-Andalusi rahimahullah. And when our mother Aisha was challenged with the hadith of Ummu Salama radiallahu anha that has those 3 conditions that I mentioned earlier, she gave the hadith of Salim Mawla Abi Huzaifa as the evidence for her position. You see, I'm now opening up the issue, Abi. I think we can stop here, that the scholars have viewed differently. Some say the windy breastfeeding that will provide mahram is the breastfeeding before weaning. So if you have that view of the majority of the scholars, it means after weaning, you may not be able to make that boy become your mahram, even if you provide him breast milk. But others amongst the scholars view that even if that boy had become stopped from breastfeeding, and you still provide him milk to drink from yourself, it is sufficient also to make him a mahram to you. This is the view of Aisha radiallahu anha. For me as an individual, this is the position that I've ever taken on this issue, that when a person is provided milk, even after weaning, that can still make that boy to be the mahram of the woman who has provided him milk. Now, if you don't provide the boy milk, your sister can provide that boy milk. So you become maternal aunt by fostering. You become maternal aunt by fostering, just like Aisha used to do with the people. It was a well-known position by Aisha radiallahu anha. I think we should stop here because of time. If Allah permits, if it is open up, perhaps in the class tomorrow, we can discuss this issue some further. Bismillah, that it has a name, but I don't want to go to that. It has a name in Fiqhul Islam, in the Rada'at Ful Kabir. But I think we can address the issue without opening up that issue of Rada'at Ful Kabir.
So if you provide them, if you are upon either of the views that appears correct to you, I have to deal with the view that if it happens even after winning, a woman breastfeeds a child, I believe that as the position of Aisha and the rest of the women who believe so, and others amongst the scholars in the later times who believe so, I believe that it is sufficient also to make that boy the mahram of the woman and the mahram of her daughters. I think we can stop here for the purpose of this question, Abba Yusuf. Can we stop here today, inshallah?
Please, I have just one more.
Okay.
Now, the Ustaz said the companion had more wives. Would this imply more than four?
Yes, he had more than four wives, but not more than four at a particular time. Sahal ibn Sa'd al-Sa'idi lived for about 120 years. And he had more than four wives. He had more than 50 wives. Radiallahu anhu. He had a lot of wives, but he did not keep more than four wives at a particular time. I hope that is clear. Sahal ibn Sa'd al-Sa'idi had over 50 wives, but he did not keep any more than four wives at a particular time. It's just like Mughira ibn Shu'bah. Mughira ibn Shu'bah had about 70 wives, but he did not keep more than four. Hassan ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib, radiallahu anhu, has also more than 50 wives, but he did not keep more than four at a point in time. I think that answer is clear. It's in our Sharia, we don't have any. We are not hiding about it. He didn't keep more than four at a particular time. This is what is prohibited. Keeping more than four at a particular time is prohibited. But perhaps a wife passed away, perhaps he got separated from a wife. He can marry another wife. I think that's
Thank you.